Before we go on to Daf Yud Gimel, we said that we were going to look over this Mishnah again because of the fact that there's so many different approaches to the Mishnah. We're talking about Halacha Beit in Perek Tet, which whole books, as Rabbanea showed us yesterday, whole books have been written on this Mishnah. So we're talking about over here the mitzvah of biur. The Gemara is going to explain. This is like the main marker where the Gemara here in the Yerushalmi actually learns out from the pasuk ulevam techav alachayash baratzachat yekol tvata leechol, which means famous limud kol zman shechayo chelat min hasadeh beimah chelat bebayit kol alachayo min hasadeh kol beimah min habayit. So if you brought in your animal feed, you could continue to, and your own feed, you can continue to feed your animal or yourself as long as it's available out in the Sada, naturally, of course, is available to the animals out there. The moment that not, then you're going to have to be Mivaer. So now, what exactly Kola means is not clear. And as we've said before, there's big, big machlokas. What does Kola mean? Kola means get rid of it, the Pashtas, getting rid of things. Biur, I mean, if we're talking about biur chametz, we're talking about biur chametz. I mean, it means to burn the chametz. What is the biur that we're referring to over here, which is kola? And the fact is that the Rambam learns biur means biur, exactly the way it means by chametz. So that would mean that on the time of the biur, you're allowed to keep the mozen shalosh seudais. You can give everybody available mozen shalosh seudais, and then the rest of it you have to get rid of. So either you literally burn it, or you put it into the Yam HaMelech. He uses exactly the same lotion that he uses for chametz. Now, so that is one extreme. The Das of the Ramban, which is basically the way most of the Rishonim learn, the way that we paskin, biur means hefker. I mean, get rid of it from your rishus. And he says, look, it's obviously not like what the Rambam is saying, because how come we never find the dinim of what the halacha is about the ashes? And so we had all of the lists, Elohim anisrafim, Elohim anigbarim, what the difference is, how come it never mentions the biur of shvius? So obviously there's no literal mitzvah. It's amazing that this was left completely unclear, both in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But okay, so Taina's the Ramban, it must be that it just simply means hefker. So the particular type of pri that is no longer available, so according to him, take it out, enter Rosh Hasharabim, announce that you're being mafker it, and then you're allowed to go back and take it yourself too, because you're already mekayim that biur. So that's the Ramban. Now, there are subcategories in the Ramban. So some Rishonim, including Rashi, says that it's not just a question of being mafkir them. You actually have to give them in a place where they become available to the Chaya Basada. So Rashi's learning that the inyan of the Chaya Basada is not that the Chaya has to have available the fruit that grew in the Sada, but that you cannot be the beneficiary of the fruit that grew in the Sada unless the Chaya is also the beneficiary. Okay, says Rashi. So therefore, put it out where the animals will be able to get it. But not being hefker for just people, that's not going to do it. Okay, so that's a third sheet. Similar to the Ramban, but different in the sense that just being mafker to people will not work. Then we have a middle sheet. The middle shita is fascinating. It has a lot to do with our mission. And that is the Raiva shita. So the Raiva shita is, there are two separate dinim of biur. So there's a local biur, and then there's the biur that we're talking about in which it's completely chaser from the entire country that we're defining as your country. So the first thing he says is, anything that is locally not available. So if it's locally not available around your cities, all of the fields no longer have this type of thing. So then you bring it out and you give it to the Yotzer Bezdin. The Yotzer Beis Din is mevayer it. How are they mevayer it? They give shalosh seudos to everyone who comes by. And that way they use it up rapidly, and it's nothing that you are holding onto. And if not, if there's no Yotzer Beis Din, then fine. Then you can just be mafkir it, says the Ravid, at that stage. And there's no problem in eating it. But then when it disappears from the entire Medina, from the what we said, the Aratzot, then he agrees with the Rambam that you have to actually burn it up or throw it into the Amamelach. So that we basically have, according to him, two different dinim, and he's samech the two different dinim on two different sukkim. And that is, since it says v'achlu evyonei amecha, so that would mean that you have to make it available to everyone, either through an Yotzer Beis Din or through hefker. And the other one says v'em tochol v'chaya, that calls man that the chaya is ochelet. If not, nobody's allowed to eat it. Fine. So we end up paskening essentially halacha l'maisa like the Ramban. Now, the question is, how do we define what is the biur of that country that the Ravid was talking about? According to Espechlal, how do we define any biur? We don't have this din of two separate biur. So we say, so let's go over the Mishnah first again, according to the various approaches. So shalosh aratzot lebiur, and that is Yehuda, Eiver HaYarden, VeHagalil, and as we mentioned yesterday, Eiver HaYarden, who is a very strange situation, because the Parshtus is, of course, that Eiver HaYarden refers to what it always refers to, the Eiver HaYarden HaMizrachi, which is problematic because there is no Shvius in the Eiver HaYarden HaMizrachi. And therefore, it can't be referring, l'chora, to Eiver HaYarden HaMizrachi, which accounts for the strange way that the Rambam understands it, which is almost impossible to explain in light of the Mishnah. The Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan, I mean, has a long discussion in which he tries to work out our Gemara and so on, based on the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda that we're going to have, and that it's not really going according to everyone. It's going Alibi Rabbi Shimon, I meant, I said Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's very, very dochuk. Somehow or other, the Rambam understands that we're talking about that Eiver HaYarden, and what's more, what makes it more awful, is that the Rambam understands that the discussion in the Mishnah about Lud to the Yam is referring to the Eiver HaYarden HaMizrachi, which the Chazanish says, well, maybe there was another Lud, and maybe instead of the Yam, it really meant the Yarden. That's very, very, and there's many rights that's not what the Mishnah was talking about, because in the Tosefta, this says the Pharisee, not like that. So, I don't know. This is one of those tremendously mysterious Rambams. Okay. But the Pashtas, as we'll see over here in our Sugya throughout, we're talking about over here a completely separate thing. Not the area of Lud has to do with the Eiver HaYarden, but rather we're talking about the Eiver HaYarden HaMizrachi, as opposed to the Rambam, who seems to be talking about the Eiver HaYarden on the other side, which has the group on our side of the Eiver
HaYarden. Rabbi meant Maravi.
I meant Maravi, yeah. Which would allow Lud to be talking about the, calling it the Eiver HaYarden, which as the group points out, but why would I call Lud Eiver HaYarden when there's so much space between the Yarden and Lud, and we're talking about other territories that are closer to the Yarden than Lud is. So, fine. Okay. In any event, we won't go into here the Rambam's Shita. And the Shalosh Shalosh Aratzot, the Kol Achat V'Achat, each one of these has three separate Aratzot, which means the Pashtos, as we'll see in our Sugya, which means there's nine Aratzot. These three, each one is divided topographically. So we have the different central climate areas, and then we have the three different types of topographical areas in each one of these. Now, there are others, however, who learn that actually there's really only Shalosh Aratzot Lebiur, and the Mishnah is saying, even though the Shalosh Aratzot in each one of them, when it comes to the Din of Biur, as long as it's available anywhere within the three topographical areas, as long as it's in the same country, it's not the Zman HaBiur. This is a completely different approach. It does not work into our sugya, as we'll see, very well at all. And there, again, the Aruch HaShulchan attempts to try to make it work out, and Libet Rabbi Shimon, as we'll see in a moment, what his shita is in the Mishnah. So what are these areas? In the Galil, we have the Galil Elyon, the Galil HaTachton, and the Emek. So Mikvar Hananya V'Lamala, going north, all the areas that are not Megadel Shikmin, they are mountainous areas, because Shikmin do not grow in the mountainous area. So that we call the Galil HaElyon. And the Shikmin only grow further down in the Shvela. Mikvar Hananya V'Lamala, again, precisely where Kvar Hananya is not very clear. It seems to be a little bit south of Meron. And so it would be like the Tzvat area. And that going south, where it does grow.
Rebbe doesn't trust the archaeological approach?
Which is that Kvar Hananya is?
Right by Tzambit Chalafta. And David, our neighbor, yeah. Safta's son, right, who lives in the Chush. He did a whole work on the Caleb of Hananya.
I mean, that's not much different than what I said. I said somewhere around that area. That's where that is, no?
Yeah, no, I'm saying that they...
You mean to give it an exact point that it was...
Yes,
so much yes. Left. Oh, okay, I didn't know. Yeah. I thought it was just a bear. So what is there now?
There's a ruin, and he analyzed the Kalim, and he explains the Neiros of Kfar Hananya that appears in different sugyas. He has the whole thing.
Okay, but what is...
David Adan Beowitz, that's the name.
Beowitz. Oh.
Yeah, he's known, everybody quotes him on the Kfar Hananya Kalim.
Wow, beautiful.
It's exhibited in Tveria in the museum now.
Fantastic, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I know you were talking about it. I would have known it was him. Okay, So excellent. Is there any town that's there though now? No town at all.
No, Rebbe knows the tree by Tzomet Chalafta with the Kvarim there. There's an intersection when you're coming down from Meron. Are you turning this way?
Where are you coming down from? From Meron?
You can come down from Pekin. You can come down from Meron, and there's an intersection. Am I going up to Pekin? Am I going north?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where that is.
So it's right near that intersection. It's right below. That what start goes up to Meron. So it's literally juncture point.
Right. Okay. Fine. So it's not that summit where you have that little restaurant that's been there forever. The one where you turn up to Meron. Maybe it's not there anymore, actually. All right. Remember, I have Gavi doing all my travel for me. And I don't know where anything is anymore.
For those who don't know, I once spent hours to get Rebbe a key or something, and it turned out, yes, there was a store there 20 years before in the 1960s, but it had left. Rebbe said, no, it's on the corner. Some old time said, yes, Mama Yakan, kids.
You're kidding. It's not there anymore? So it's been 20 years since that, and I forgot already. Okay. Fine. All right. So anyway, that's called the Galil HaTachton. And then you have a real Emek. The real Emek is the Tum of Tveria. So that area around Tveria is the deep Emek, and that's called the Emek of the Galil. You also have Shalosh Aratzot in Yehuda. And what is that? You have the Har, which we call the Har HaMelech, which is most of the Har Yehuda, the tall Har Yehuda around Yerushalayim. And there is most of the growth over there, and it's very, very fruitful. You have the Shvela, Shvela Tadaron, and you have Mamish, the Emek, Ein Gedi, down to Yericho. That's very deep Emek. It's a continuation of the same Emek, basically. That was the Emek of Tveria. That's the African Rift Valley. Then you have the Shiflat Lut, and that is Kishiflat Tadaron. So in other words, we view it with the same din as the Shvela of Yehuda, which is the Shiflat Adorom. You can eat b'Shiflas Lud, the Har of Shiflas of Lud Bizkar HaMelech. And it's the same. So if you take a look at I think in his book, the Shalosh Aratzot, he does a very nice job of showing why that works. Let me show you graphically. Well, why that works is because of this. If you draw a line, so you've got essentially the Har cuts over from the Har HaMelech directly into the area that we're calling the Lud area, right? And so does the Shvelah. And then if you just simply line them up in a way that the Har is connected to Har and the Shvelah is connected to Shvelah, then you understand that it's basically the same area, except that it goes further down south than Yehuda does, and that becomes what is called the Emek of the Lud area. But essentially, it would be a continuation of Yehuda. And then we have another country. What is the other country? Wow, that we didn't even mention. Mi Beit Horon va'ad Hayam is called the Medina Achat. So that area of Beit Horon, which is north in Yehuda, going down to the Yam, has a completely din of its own Medina, and there is means that we should have actually, we're going to see later on, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's actually three different parts in that area that we also have, from Emius unto Lud, from Lud to the Yam. So we actually have three different areas in there. So then the Yerushalmi is going to ask, as we did yesterday, so that means that we really have four. How come we said we only have three? And the answer was that they are Mu'ravot, which is what I just showed you. It's basically the same area, it just has a different name. It's the same mountainous area, and it's the same flat area. So we didn't give it the name of a fourth country. Okay? All right, so then that would mean that the Aver HaYarden in the Mishnah, according to the Rambam, is talking about our side of the Yarden, and therefore the Rambam can say that this discussion of Lud is Aver HaYarden. And so it's talking about over here the Shalosh Aratzot of Aver HaYarden, which is Shiflas Lud and the Har, and Beit Horon Ad Hayam. So according to him, the only thing that doesn't make sense is why the heck we're calling it Aver HaYarden. But according to him, the new area is not a fourth country. It's the third country. Yehuda, Galil, and Aver HaYarden. According to the others, we learn Aver HaYarden means exactly what Aver HaYarden is. Always in the Torah, which is referring to the east, there, the reason that it doesn't say what are the three Aratzot is because the Torah has listed the Aver HaYarden areas very clearly. It says so in Yoshua, and therefore we don't need to actually spell it out for you. All right, so this would be the way that we understand the Mishnah according to the Rambam and according to the others. Lama Amru Shalosh Aratzot. So why do we even say these Shalosh Aratzot? So here we have two very different approaches. The Lama Amru Shalosh Aratzot, the Pashta says, and this is the way the Rishami clearly is learning, you can eat in every one of these nine Aratzot from your own Perot until you don't have anything at all to eat in your area. But the other way of learning it is, Bepashtas, that despite the fact that there are three topographical areas, the Mishnah is coming to tell me that it's all one country, and therefore you're allowed to eat in any one of these countries as long as even it's available anywhere. Let's say you're living in the Har, you're living in Yerushalayim. You don't have to be Mevayer unless it's not available anywhere in Yehuda. So there's two different ways of learning it. Anywhere in the Har would mean that you have nine areas, or anywhere in Yehuda. So why did it list the three? To tell me that even though we have these topographical differences, It doesn't matter. What would be the reason that we would split it into nine areas? So again, as the Gemara is going to explain, the point is the range of animals. Since the Torah made it dependent on the Chaya, normally an animal that is suited to a particular topography doesn't go to a different type of topography. So it'll move from one har to another har, but it's not going to move from a har to the Shvela. It's not going to move from the har to the Emek. It's not comfortable as that being its environment. And because of that, each one of these are actually a separate country. What's more, a animal that is used to the Peres of Yehuda does not actually find a normal Zika to Peres in the Galil, and vice versa. So therefore, we are assuming that a Chaya does not go from Yehuda to the Galil, even if it's the same topography, or from the Galil to Yehuda, even if it's the same topography. But the other way of learning it, as I said, is that the only reason that we said Sholosh Aratzot Lebiur is to tell me the way to read the Mishnah is that if it is color from your entire country. Okay, it's two very, very different ways of learning. Rabbi Shimon Omer, it's not true. There are Sholosh Aratzot. Now, this is almost impossible to explain with the approach that's talking about the entire country. And this everybody talks about. So how do you explain Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says this idea that a country has three different topographies is only true of Yehuda. So there we have Sholosh Aratzot, Har Shvela ve'Emek, and if you don't have it in the Har, then you have to be Mavayer, even though it's available in the Emek, and so on. That's only said Megabe Yehuda. But Shar Kol Haratzot, the Galil, or Eivor HaYarden, they all go according to one area, and that is the Har HaMelech, and as long as things are still growing in Har HaMelech, there's so many pears that grow there, and all animals are used to eating from there, that it all goes according to a standard place. The Chol HaRatzot has a question whether these words of Chol HaRatzot are a continuation of what it is that Rabbi Shimon says, or is it said L'kuleyam? Chol HaRatzot ke'achat l'zeitim v'latmarim. There's some type of things that animals search throughout the different territories. So if an animal is used to eating in zeitim, and if you're talking about tamarim, those are the kind of things that do not distinguish between one country, so to speak, or the other. So if I am eating the dates along the African Rift Valley, it doesn't concern me as the Chaya whether this has a din of Yehuda or whether this has a din of Shiflis Tveria. The dates still are delicious, and therefore I will follow them all the way up. And as we know, the story of the date tree that fell in love in Tveria with a date tree that was all the way down in Yericho, and they had to bring the pollen from Yericho, the beautiful love story of the dates. And if the dates can fall in love in another country, so apparently do the chayas of the dates. So, and the same thing is true of all of those delicious olives. We follow the olives through to any of the areas of the harem where the olives grow, and therefore there's no problem. Okay, so because of that, it doesn't matter where. Oh, you got Kfar Hananya. Thank you. Doesn't matter where it would be. Oh, I thought you had a recent map. Okay, fine. All right, so this is...
He has the map in the article.
Ah, okay, great. If you send me that, I'd love to see it too. Okay, so this was the way that we looked at the Mishnah yesterday, and now let's take a look at the Gemara here. So we said that basically the way we're learning here in the Yerushalmi, there's nine Aratzot, and you can only eat in your local Eretz. And why can't you eat if it's in the Shvela, if you're in the Har? Because, as the Gemara says, that means, the moment it's called l'chaya min hasadeh, you are mechuyev to be kalei l'ventecha min habayit. So that means it has to be the range of that animal. Reb Chama Baruch v'Beshem Reb Yossi Bar Chanina says that, you know, there ain't a chayash bahar gedei lebeinek. The chachomim were mishayer, that from what they know about the normal range of animals, if an animal has a range in the har, it doesn't usually go down to the emek. And lo gedei lechayash beemek bahar. And therefore, if the Torah made it dependent on the animals, then we have to split it according to the range of the typical animal in that area. And there was a mice that proved this, you know, because Diocletianus, Aiklevne Panias, this Roman Diocletianus, he used to live in the Banias, and he would make people over there, drove them crazy with taxes and with gezeiros and so on. So they said, look, if you're going to keep making it impossible to live here, then we'll leave, you know. And then you won't have anybody to drive crazy and get your taxes from. So I'm in like Ananas, and we're going out. We're leaving. So here's a sophistry. Amalei sophista. So a sophist said to him, don't worry about it. They ain't going nowhere. And if they do go, they're going to be coming back. So you don't really have to worry. They may make a big fuss about going, but I guarantee you they'll be back at that time. In Aslan, Chazunon, they'll be back. If you want to check and see if I'm telling you the truth, it's very simple. What you need to do is bring some deer. Now, send those deer on an airplane to Africa, okay? From the Banyas to Africa. Watch what happens. So, Shalchun La'ara Derechicha, you'll see that they are going to make their way back to the Banyas from Africa. Okay, b'sof inu chazim latrayon. And if the deer do it, let me tell you something. All mammals do it. The people will be back here in no time. It'll just be migration. Avat Cain, so he did that. Aite tavian, he brought these deers, and chafi karnaton b'chsaf, he covered over their horns with a little radio. In those days, that was just kesef, but they needed to be able, of course, to identify it. So how did they identify the deer? They used silver plating to identify the deer. Okay, so what they do today, of course, is they put a little sticker on the fish that they're trying to see the migration patterns and so on. So he put kesef on, and he sends them to Africa, right? And it's very good to send the animals to Africa, because it says beferish that it's an eretz that's teva k'artzecha. It's exactly what Sancheirib sends the message. You know, you want to go to Africa, you're going to have a great time over there. It's beautiful. You can have the Galil. You'll have the Galil right there. It'll all be the same. Fun. So you can always go to Cape Town. No problem. It would be like living in Netanya. Nothing to worry about. All right, so sure enough, so he sends them to Africa. So you'd think they would be happy in Africa, right? 13 years later, there they are with the same kesef, and they are back in the Banyas. So, says Mr. Sophist, you know, you see, I was right. The humans will be exactly the same thing. This is a beautiful pshat. The Ramban brings in Naftali Ayala Shalucha. It's an incredible story. So the Ramban uses this Gemara here to give his pirish. What does it mean? Hanoten imre shefer. Like, what's the connection? You're an ayala shlucha that is noten imre shefer. How does an ayala shlucha be noten imre shefer? Says Ramban, you see from this Gemara that you can use animal migration to send messages, right? So let's say you're a melech and you want to get a message when your dear friend, who's the king of South Africa, that was before the ANC, Yimach Shemam.
He meant a dear friend.
A dear friend, exactly. Maybe that's even the marker. So you would send an animal, to send an ayala, and you would say, here's a gift from me to you. When you have a baby, then let it go. So That's what they would do. They would put the message on the deer. When the guy sees the deer is back, now he knows that his dear friend had a baby. So you see from here that I know, says the Ramban, this is the Yerushalmi right here in Shvius. The Gemara says that they did this with the Smaisa, and sure enough, they came back. So that's why Naphtali is the equivalent of the Ayalash Luchan, no Sinim Reshev. Isn't that gorgeous? What a shot. Stunning. So, B'Sof Tlatis Reshana, they actually came back. Okay, I guess we have to stop now, but I couldn't resist ending before we got the story. So I kept you a little bit later, but it's just a beautiful shot. I mean, you worry all these years. What could it mean that Notenim Reshev has to do with Ayalash Luchan? We had in the Mishnah the way in which we identify the areas that are considered to be mountainous areas or plain areas or valley areas. And the truth is that we do have a simen, although there's a little bit of a machlokas in the girsas, we'll see. We have a simen to what constitutes the vegetation on those areas. It's fascinating. This is what we've been talking about, different types of vegetation where the biur is actually all over is the same. So that we talked about yesterday, the animals will follow the dates throughout. And we talked about the olives. And now there's also other fascinating ways of identifying the topography based on what normally grows at different levels of elevation. So Shimon Gamliel says, look, if there are milin that are growing in the area, then it's definitely a har. So simen laharim milin. Now remember, milin is what we use to make the sefer, what they used to use to make the sefer Torah parchments properly writable on, and not, and you can't forge that. So I think they call it gallnuts. And those trees are only able to grow in mountainous areas. The simen of a valley is, of course, dates. So date palms really grow well only commercially, only in valleys. L'nechalim, and if you want to know whether this has the din of a river, now, one's going to ask, why would we need to know that? So it's a nechalim. The way to know it is that it's got kanim. So reeds grow along riverbanks. L'shvela, if you want to know that you're on the flatlands, it's shikmim. As we said, so sycamores will not grow on har, they grow on the shvela. And Alpha Pishain Raya Ladovala, I can't prove that stuff, but I can tell you that there is a Zecher Ladover in the Torah. Because when it's talking about Shlomo HaMelech's work, the beautiful things that he did, and this is actually not long after the Haftorah of this week. So it talks about the things that he did, not only the Bini Beis Hamikdash, but the other batim that he built in Yerushalayim, and how he made Yerushalayim so beautiful. Et ha'arazim natan kashikmim asher bashvela l'rov. There were so many cedar trees that were growing in Yerushalayim, or that were that he had used for building in Yerushalayim. It was like the sycamore trees in the shvelas. Okay, then obviously that means that the sycamores are found in the shvela. Now, as far as what is the point? So, itabai meimar, lemidat hadin itmar. So someone is saying that the reason that we needed to talk about this, who cares? Who cares? It's nogea lawsuits. Because suppose somebody made an agreement that I'm going to be selling you an acre of land in the mountains, or I'm going to be selling you an acre of land in the valley, whatever. So the way that he can prove that the sale was as specified is by utilizing this type of vegetation. So if there's date palms that are growing there, so then that's called an amek. If there's sycamores growing there, so then that's called the shvela. But some say that it's nogea, the din, because as far as, I mean, our real problem, as we'll see in a moment, is what is the point of the nachal? Why do I need to know that reeds grow along a nachal? So in other words, we were assuming, if we only think that that's the question, which is implied in a moment, that what we've been talking about here is Rav Shimon Gamliel expressing the simanim megabe our Mishnah. So what's considered to be the Horim Sheba Galil, the Horim Sheba Yehuda, and so on. But here it says, Istabay the Meimar, Le'egla Rufa Itmar, that the only place where we would be interested in knowing what is considered to be a Nachal is when it comes to the din of Egla Rufa. We're over there. You're supposed to be Orifas Egla in a Nachal Eitan. Now, this seems very much to be a riot to the Rambam, who learns that Nachal Eitan means a strong running current, meaning there's a river here, not a Nachal in the sense of just a channel, which is the way other Rishonim learn. And right here, it's mentioned also in the Gemara even, that Nachal Eitan doesn't have to have water in it. The Rambam Pasuk has to have water in it. Everybody talks about it. Here it's clear that, I mean, certainly they're kind of reeds in a dried out hard Nachal, right? So, okay. But the question is, does that mean that the Girsa, Lemidat Hadin Itmar, which was across the board, so I say Itaboy Lemeimar, so Itaboy Meimar, some have the Girsa, Lemidas Hada Itmar. So some say the Mishnah was talking entirely in terms of our Mishnah. What is considered to be an area that is a Har, Shvela, Emek in terms of the Mishnah, in which case you haven't really explained why it says anything about the idea of the Nachal. Okay, so then we don't understand how we put all three together. What's the significance of things that have nothing to do with the Mishnah? But then it should say Lemidas Hadin, not Lemidas Hada. So, all right. So this is discussed really in the Bavli by the Rishonim. Anyway, getting back to the Emek. So we have a Braita that defines, the Mishnah was sort of vague. The Mishnah says, well, it's referring to the area of Tveria. What can you tell me exactly what that means? So Ezo Emek Bagalil. Well, it's actually Bikat Ginosar and all of the Chavrotea. So Ginat Ginosar basically means when you already have now, obviously it means the Kinneret, but it means also the land that is low coming into the Kinneret. So that's, again, the overall region of Tveria. Now, above that, of course, you have some very, very significant hills that are around it. As you know, that when you go up even just a few hundred meters to the north of the Kinneret, you've got to go really all the way up, and you're basically almost at the Harim Sheba Galil. So the valley begins at the bottom of those hills, and that makes heck of a lot of sense. Plus Chavrotel. So Chavrotel would mean when you're coming out of the Kinneret on the other end, the same valley continues on. And of course, in the end, that goes all the way through Yehuda till the Yam HaMelech. But all of that, the area that is still up to the beginning of Yehuda is considered to be the area around Tveria. So that's considered to be the Emek of the Galil. Then we said that in Yehuda, we've got these three areas, the Horim, the Shvela, and the Emek. It doesn't tell us precisely how to identify that. And the Braita does. Ezeo Har Sheba Yehuda, Ze Har HaMelech. Again, there's a lot of discussion what precisely is Har HaMelech. There's obviously the area around Har Yerushalayim, which is real Har. And the Shvela refers to the Shiflat Hadarum. And there's a lot of discussion, even though Ge Halacha L'Maisa. What is considered to be the Shiflat Hadarum? First of all, it's a fascinating thing that there's no mention whatsoever of desert areas, right? Doesn't talk about the Negev. Just talks about the Shiflat Hadarum, which is the Shvela, but not the Negev. So, I mean, sometimes the reason that it doesn't mention the Negev is because things don't grow for Chayas in the Negev, which is a very good reason. If the whole idea over here is that it's called Solochayim in Asada, well, you're not going to find Sadas in the Negev, at least not naturally. So because of that, we didn't even mention it. But it could be that in the event that you have irrigation and so on, so you would actually include the Negev also as the Shiflat HaDaron. Possibly. Okay. And what is the Emek? The Emek goes from Ein Gedi all the way down to Yericho. So that is the area that is called Yehuda. It's obviously all still part of that African Rift Valley, which is the same valley that goes all the way up till the Galil. Now, what about Eiver HaYarden? So, Ezeu Har Shebe Eiver HaYarden. So in the Braita, it says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, now this part of the Braita is absolutely inexplicable according to the Rambam, because remember, according to the Rambam, we're talking about the wrong side of the Eiver HaYarden. We're talking about an unusual use of the word Eiver HaYarden. He says a Shiflas Lud, which is talking about the west side of the Yarden. And over here, this Braita explains very clearly, uses all the names that come from Sefer Yoshua in the area of Reuven and Chatzis Shevet Menashe. So this doesn't make any sense at all. This is why this is one of the most difficult Rambams. And again, we have to say that it would be arguing, it would be going according to different mandiomar. So here in this Braita, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, well, what we're talking about over here, you want to know what we mean by mountains? We're talking about the Hore Machvar and Gidor. So this is in the area of Reuven and Gad, Chati Shevet Menashe. And Kayot Sebo, or anything that was mentioned there in the Psukim, the Shvela, would be the psukim that refer to Cheshbon v'chol arei asher b'mishor. So this is beferish that that's in the flatlands. Divon u'bamot ba'al, u'beit ba'al me'on, and areas like that. V'chen kol kayotzim, and all of this is Eiver HaYarden mizrocha. What would be the emek of Eiver HaYarden? Again, based on the pasuk that identifies the emek in Yoshua. So how you could possibly say it's not referring to Reuven v'Gad is difficult to understand. So that would be Beit Aram, Beit Nimra, v'chen kayotze b'hem, like the pasuk. Uva emek to beferish. Beit Aram, Beit Nimra, v'sukot, v'tzafon, yeter, mamlechot Sichon. So all of this was part of Sichon melech Amori, asher malach b'cheshbon. By the way, we know some of these places today, says the Gemara, because Beit Haram, that's what we call Ramata. And Beit Nimra, that's the place we call Beit Nimrin. And Sukkot, that's Dar Allah, which is a perfect thing for Barnea to talk about, because there's all kinds of discussions about the current location of Dar Allah. There's names like that. And Safon refers to Amtu. Now, there is a big problem with this, which has very much to do with the Rambam's psak that we're not talking about it, this side of the Nahar, meaning the east of the Nahar, and that's very simply because it says Beferish in a Mishnah that Ammon and Moab, there's no Shvias at all, because they were never Mekudesh again Ayidei Eilei Bavel. So why are we talking about the areas? Our Gemara was limited, as we started off in the Masechet, was limited to those areas that were Mekudash with the Eilei Bavel, and now we're listing places that were never Mekudash with Eilei Bavel, according to the Mishnah. So how do we explain this? So what that must mean is, there's different details of how to understand this. It must mean that there were two areas that are called Ammon and Moab. And there's a good reason for us to say there are two areas, because we know that Sichon, the area that was captured by Sichon and Og. So remember, we said actually it was Osir for Klal Yisrael to go and attack those areas until it was Mituhar with Sichon. Now, Kosh Baruch Hu gave it over into the hands of Sichon, and that way it's no longer Osir to us as Ammon and Moab. And therefore, Yisrael had a right to capture it from him. So it may well be that the area that was in the hands of Ammon and Moab, literally, that indeed was not Mekudash. It was never Mekudash. So because of that, there would be no dinim of Shvias in that area. Or maybe what we're talking about, that if you have an area that belonged to Sichon, that Moshe Rabbeinu had gone and taken away from Sichon, Fine. Then there is this din in the Olei Bava Wur Mekadesh. Well, we're talking about that there's no din in Amon Amoav. It might be referring even to the lands of Sichon, but not those areas that were taken by Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? And so in other words, if there was an Olei Mitzrayim that had taken over that area, and those are the psukim that we're referring to here, so then the Olei Bava also took it over. But if it was never taken originally, so then it was not taken by the Olei Bavel either. I mean, that was that Bechlal was never part of Eretz Yisrael. So basically, it's two completely different issues. The part that was originally Sichon, it was originally Sichon, though, is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the part that was originally Ammon and Moab, and that was Mekodesh with the Olei Mitzrayim. It was not Mekodesh by the Olei Bavel. Okay, these are two different approaches. Rabbi Natan has a long discussion of which he gives to himself. He gives both of those possible pirushim. There's another din over here that we can learn out from Mishnah. Shvela shebahar kahar, and the har, the shebishvela, it should say, is kashvela. So what does that mean? That obviously when we're talking about these topographical regions, we're only referring to regions. We're not referring to local kind of things. Of course, you can find in the middle of a flat region, you find suddenly one hill, right? But it's completely surrounded by flatland or vice versa. You can have an area in the middle of mountains, and in that area, you find this very often, that area, there's a valley, and there's a, you know, a little, there's a little lake in the middle of the valley. That's a very common kind of thing. What the Bright is telling us over here, that we're going to be medayik from the Mishnah, but the Gemara is telling us over here, is that local variations in terrain do not change the din. And the only thing that we meant in the Mishnah is where the entire area is a mountain, or the entire area is an emek. But the fact that you have an emek between mountains, well, that is not considered to be an emek. And how do we know that? From the Braita. In Madatani, it says in the Braita, that you are allowed, here it's expanding on the Mishnah, that you're Eichlin Bahar, Kozman Dise Bahar, and it doesn't say only Har, it says Har Veharo, Emek Veimko, Shefel Ushvelato. So in other words, if you're in the area of the Har, then as long as it's in the area of the Har, it's okay to eat it, which implies that Shvela Shebahar Kahar and the Har Shebishvela is Kishvela. Because otherwise, what does it mean by saying Haro? So it's saying even though you've got local Amek, that doesn't mean anything. It's basically itself because it remains a Har despite the fact that it looks like a Shvela here. Well, Rabbi Yossi, truth is, you can actually see this in our own Mishnah. You don't need to look to the Braita. Matnita Amra Ken. Because what did it say at the end of the Mishnah? Ahar Shela, Kehar HaMelech, Mi Beit Choron Va'ad Hayam, Medina Achat. So now tell me what that means. We know that the Beit Choron area also has Har Shvela and Emek. So why do we say that that is considered to all be the same? It's because over there, the things that we have are just local variations of terrain. They're not like a whole area that's considered to be Harari or a whole area that's considered to be Emki. So you see that we give one definition to a topographical area and we don't look at local variants. And Omar Rabbi Yochanan, that's my point. Of course, it also has, in the area that we're calling the Beit Choron Ad Hayam, it also has areas that are mountainous. It has Shvela. It has Emek. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Let's see. You go from Beit Choron until Emmaus. Isn't that very Harari? It certainly is. If you don't put on your brakes in that area, you're ending up going 150 kilometers an hour. So, of course, it's Harari, as everybody knows. Once you get to Emmaus, and then you go from Emmaus to Lud, that's all Shvela. You don't see anything there but Shvela as you travel along the highway from Emmaus to Lud. And then, Milud Vadayam, you go all the way down, you have Amek. So if that's the case, I want to ask you, why did you say that there are three countries, each of one has three distinct topographical areas? You could have said the same thing about the area from Beit Horon, right? The answer is that Muravotein. You can't define them as clearly designated separate topography, because they're all mixed up. You'll have, like, on one side, you'll have a Shvelah. On the other side, you'll have an Amek. And then ahead, there's a mountain. That's true. But it doesn't mean that you have three different Har Amek v'Shvelah. So the whole point that Rabbi Yochanan is making is that you've got to say that when something is Me'urav and the differences are more local than over a whole area, that we don't really give that a name as a har, even though you may be experiencing very much the har. Again, so anybody who takes that route from the Beit Horon down to Lud, or you're traveling around along the road 443, you're traveling on a mountain. You get to the bottom and you're basically at Emmaus when you get to the exchange. And then you're basically in a Shvelah and so on. So, nonetheless, we're not giving it those different dinim, which proves, without going to the Braita, the very fact that the Mishnah says it's all considered to be Medina Achat means that we don't give it three dinim. Okay, so then again, Halakha L'maisa, we come out with possibly 10 different areas from Bihor. If we learn according to those Rishonim, we'll understand that the three times three is 9 plus the Beit Horon. And according to those who hold, there's only three Aratzot L'Bihur, because they learned that we're just telling you, despite the fact that there are different topographical areas, don't think that a lion in Yehuda is going to be a lion in the Galil and go to the Har in the Galil. So it's good that Gavi only has to worry about cows. If he needed to worry about lions, it would be, there used to actually be lions in the Harei Yehuda. And when they first built Mea Shearim, there were a couple of mice, and when there were lions walking through Mea Shearim, can you imagine when there was nothing else around there? Anyway, you're relying on what people thought were lions. Maybe they were just big Yerushalmi cats, you know. Okay, everybody. In any event, Baruch Hashem, so we've got some kind of sense for what's going on, Moshe Handel. You've got a compliment, Gavi. Gavi is a lion. Baruch Hashem. Okay, everyone. So we look forward to the lions of Yehuda and of Eretz Yisrael, Bichlal, destroying all of these roaches very, very soon, Bezras Hashem, with the Nisim of Purim coming around, and then the Nisim of Pesach coming around, and the Geula of Achris Kireshis coming around. So we're right on schedule. Bezrat Hashem. Why we should be zeicha to be able to celebrate together. All right. Kol tov, everyone.